Who would have thought? News of yet another investigation into a Swiss bank helping Americans hide money. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. UBS of Switzerland just reported solid profits with earnings up 13%, but the bank is confirming a new investigation into its activities by U.S. authorities. The BBC's Imogen Folks joins us from the Swiss city of Bern. Good morning.
Good morning.
There's new concern about perhaps UBS helping wealthy clients hide their wealth?
This time it's about a thing called bearer bonds, which apparently allow people to buy them without really registering their ownership. That means their money is basically hidden. Other banks, Credit Suisse, also being investigated. And of course, we have this week's huge scandal over HSBC, British bank, but the dirty dealing, as the press would call it, all seems to have taken place in Geneva.
Now, Imogen, before we go, UBS profits today covered the last quarter of 2014, of course. It was in this new quarter, I think it was January, when Switzerland let go of its peg between the Swiss franc and the euro, and the franc shot higher. This, I think, will be a drag on UBS's next set of profits.
Yeah, and in fact, the UBS did issue a warning about that. And interestingly, despite that very healthy profit in the fourth quarter, which UBS announced, its shares have fallen today by 3%, and that's all related to the strength of the Swiss franc.
Speaking from Bern, Switzerland, the BBC's Imogen Folks, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, that separate HSBC story we've been covering this week, the whistleblower giving investigative reporters reams of information about that bank's Swiss arm allegedly helping wealthy clients hide money. This development today deepened that trove of information, word that the daughter of a former Chinese premier had about $2.5 million in a secret HSBC account. Li Shaolin is the daughter of the man known for supporting the bloody military crackdown on China's pro-democracy movement in 1989. This from the consortium of investigative journalists that's been combing through the data obtained from a former computer guy at HSBC. The bank, for its part, now acknowledges things may have gone awry at its Swiss operation. Now let's check the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. The 10-year Treasury yield is up to just under 1.99%. Coke reports profits today with Pepsi's tomorrow, but they not pop. You get it? Amid changing tastes at home and abroad. And as Marketplace's Adam Allington reports, luring back health-conscious consumers is not as simple as taking out the corn syrup.
A quick glance in the soda aisle of your grocery will reveal all kinds of novelties, from smaller bottles to healthier stevia-flavored cola in green cans. Pepsi actually tried marketing a low-calorie brand several years ago.
But then what happened is they started losing market share to Coke.
Jennifer Harris is with UConn's Rudd Center on Food Policy and Obesity. It's hard for companies like Coke and Pepsi to know when to roll out new products, but even if they don't always sell, it can still send a message to consumers.
You know, if they can say, well, we have 8-ounce cans, or we're introducing products with stevia and less sugar, regardless of people are buying them or not, at least they're giving the impression that they're trying.
That doesn't sit so well with shareholders. Tom Perko is the director of Bevmark Consulting. He says investors don't like to see companies stray too far from their core product, in this case, regular old sugar soda.
They begin to wonder about what they're doing, and then that rattles the market.
Perko says Coke and Pepsi's biggest concerns are international sales, brought down by the strong dollar and weak global economy. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
The key turn of phrase was in our next story about Miami's building boom is the moment when Marketplace's Dan Weissman says apartment-shaped financial instruments.
So we're going to make a
left here?
A left here. We're down.
I'd seen
away.
Lots of cranes right on the drive into downtown Miami, but I didn't really understand the pace of construction until I got a tour.
They're going to try to close this entire street because of the number of towers that are coming.
So over here, Peter Zalewski runs Crane Spotters, an information service keeping tabs on the building boom.
Right over here is a project called Brickell Flatiron, and it's one of two 60.
As we drove slowly through downtown,
left-hand side, you got two 60-story towers going up called Brickell.
He could barely
Heights.
Talk fast enough just to name all the towers going up.
Project called Mint. Then we have Ivy. Then we have the Wind.
Earlier that evening, Zalewski had explained to me what's behind all the construction. The bulk of these condos are not residences. They are apartment-shaped financial instruments.
In New York, you trade stocks. Chicago, we trade commodities. Miami, we trade condos. This is what we do. We trade down here. These are traders who are not looking to live the American dream with a family of four and a dog. They're looking to make $100,000 a unit with virtually nothing being done but making a telephone call to your broker in Miami and having them unload it to somebody else's broker who's representing somebody in Russia.
The basic idea is investors park cash in these units, buying in before construction begins. They're betting that by the time the building is finished, prices will have gone up. Many of the buyers are from outside the United States, often from Latin American countries where other available investments and the home currencies make Miami real estate look like a stable place to park some cash. Bill Hardin is a real estate professor at Florida International University. He likes to tell people that real estate is Miami's number one export.
And they go, how can you export real estate? I said, because in an economic sense, it's not moving the product. It's where does the money come from that pays for those products to buy it and to maintain it.
We meet in his 11th floor office overlooking the ocean and overlooking a construction site just below his window. And soon that's going to be an 87-story building.
So somebody will have a great view in the future, but it won't be me.
Or at least somebody will own a great view. In downtown Miami, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
Having heard that, you may also be interested in the New York Times investigative piece about the stream of foreign wealth that's being hidden by using shell companies to buy fancy condos in New York. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.